Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today is Dr. Terry Welsh. Welcome, Dr. Welsh.
Thank you, Father. It's good to see you.
I think I'll call you Terry. Is that all right?
That's
what
fantastic.
I usually call
Thank
you, but
you. Some people
it's
have
so
trouble
formal.
With that.
Yeah. Let's start with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we bless and praise your name this day and give you thanks for all of your many gifts. We ask, O Lord, that you open our hearts to see with wonder and awe the great things that you are doing before us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So, Terry, welcome. It's so great to have you. As we usually begin these sort of series on conversations on discipleship, we like to hear your story, kind of your faith journey and how you've come to know the Lord. So maybe you could share that with us.
Of course, Father, I'd be happy to do that. But first, you know, praise God for all that you're doing here.
Oh, well,
I can't tell
you
how much I appreciate it personally. And, you know, thank you for the opportunity to reflect on my faith journey. It's something that I don't do much. and thanks for doing the show, by the way. You know, I had the opportunity to listen to some episodes, and you're really good. Like your voice, I don't know if it's the technical equipment or what, but, you know, your voice is fantastic. Your transitions are really slick. I love your interview style, and it's a really top-notch production.
Well,
so, but in a bigger context, you know, thank you for your work on the new evangelization. I don't think people realize what that is, and I happen to know you as you were preparing, you know, to take on a project like this. And, you know, first of all, it's really cerebral. In other words, at one time we were riding bikes out near Chillicothe, and I started asking about it, and you were talking about Louis D. and all this, and I'm like, man, this is deep stuff. You know, maybe we could change the topic to Thomas Aquinas or something. I know something about. It had been tough studies, you know, and tough discernment. So I appreciate that, and I think your listeners should know that too. It's also really important and really tough, and it's important because the church needs it, and it's tough because it's a tough environment right now to talk about religion. Even in my own extended family, you know, it's tough to have those conversations. As a doctor, you know, there are certain body parts that you might need to examine that people don't feel comfortable with, and they get fearful and angry and anxious. And I think it's like that for some folks talking about religion. So I appreciate that point. And then just thank you for your friendship and your pastoral care for my family and for me. It's been great. So, okay. I'll get onto the story now. Hey, you know, so when I reflect on this, and you won't be surprised, I don't think that I feel like for me it wasn't like a sudden event or a feeling, but this gradual turning. And, you know, I think one of my traits by nature is to be more questioning than affirming. And I look at that as something I need to work on. But, you know, even so, that realization or that acknowledgement of doubt, and maybe mostly self-doubt, you know, which some people are, you know, surprised about, follow them by confidence. That's been really important to me in my journey to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and Redeemer. You know, it's been a great journey, and you know, it's that's where I am with it now. So when I was born, we were in a house directly across from St. Mary the Assumption in Lancaster. I mean, if you would open up both front doors, we could see the tabernacle from the kitchen table.
Wow.
Right? I mean, it was right there. So it wasn't as though the church wasn't part of my life and growing up. I was number 8 of 11, so it wasn't long that we moved a couple of blocks down the street to a bigger house. And we were still close enough that the parish knew they could call us for, like, extra masses for weddings and funerals and to sing in the choir at funerals. And I love that stuff. I mean, I just remember really liking it. I had my little altar in my bedroom and all that. But I didn't reflect on it at all. I mean, it was just something that was there that I enjoyed. And I don't really know how to explain that. And I'm having similar experiences as an adult. We can talk about sometime later, but you know, I don't always know why I am in different places, and certainly, you know, that's God in my life, I believe. So, you know, but then the story takes a turn. You know, and by eighth grade, I was into what I like to call my oppositional period, which may still be continued to this day, but certainly into young adulthood. And you know, basically, I was not living a life turned toward God like I want to do now. And you know, for instance, I would find ways to like skip Mass and the sacraments and lie to my parents about it, you know. So and it got so bad one time I showed up, I think I was a junior or senior in high school, and you know, I showed up to serve Mass, and our pastor, Father Wolf at the time, just looked at me and said, "Are you still Catholic?" I'm like, "Wait a minute, you know, how did you know about all this?" And I still don't know to this day how he figured out. But, you know, it was a little bit of a wake-up call that, you know, there's more to being a Catholic than just being a, you know, a good guy outwardly. So, you know, participation in the church was, you know, not something I was doing at the time, and he realized that. And so when I got to college and medical school, you know, I'd have to say that I was generally responsible enough or considered such, and also probably an outwardly decent person, but definitely not connected to the church community. Fortunately, then I met my wife, Sharon, and as you know, she's a future saint. Yeah, so we planned to get married in the church, and that's where I'd like to talk about some of the people God sent me to help me encourage my turn toward a true relationship with Christ, and surely she was one of them. And so this may sound simple or stupid, but it's the only way I know how to say it. Like, somehow we figured out she really wasn't Catholic when we were married, okay? And here's the story that, you know, her dad's parents wanted her baptized Catholic, and she was, but her dad never practiced. So she didn't grow up in the Catholic Church. And you know, there was a priest that agreed to marry us, and he was going to marry us, but then right before our wedding, he got reassigned. And you know, we had all the church plans already made. And the guy that replaced him happened to be a canon lawyer, and you know, which was for us unfortunate at the time, but in the long run probably fortunate. And we were his first appointment, and so we showed up at the rectory, and there's a U-Haul still in the driveway, you know, with his stuff at 8 o'clock in the morning. This was our last pre-Cana meeting with the priest, and you know, it didn't take him long to figure things out. You know, he realized that she hadn't been properly initiated, and you know, and then that I wasn't registered anywhere, let alone a practicing Catholic. So that was a bit of a problem for him. And my reaction to that is like, this guy's just being mean and bureaucratic to us, you know, this shouldn't be a problem at all. Mm-hmm. And it made Sharon cry, you know. And so finally, he did agree to marry us, but only on the condition that during our first year after marriage, we go through RCIA together. So, you know, it laid more of a foundation to our understanding that it was important to have the church as part of our life, and that our marriage should be grounded in the church.
Beautiful.
So there have been a lot of other people along the way, you know, and usually unsuspectingly, who God feel God worked through to help me turn to Him, and I've really come to believe that to be able to have faith and give testimony to it, that you first have to believe in yourself. And I don't mean to sound egocentric about that, but you know, you have to have the capacity and the courage to do it. You know, when you think about like St. Peter, when he denied Christ, he didn't want to testify because he was afraid of the repercussions on himself. He didn't have confidence in himself. And you know, preparing for this, these are the things I do. I looked up the word testimony, and, you know, I shouldn't have been surprised that it comes from the same root as a male anatomical part. That, you know, it symbolizes some bit of virility and manliness and courage, and because you're speaking the truth. I mean, Jesus spoke with authority and authenticity. You know, when he spoke, people knew he was who he said he was. There was no BSing about that. You know, like it was just there. And so, you know, I believe that God provides people to help us with that, and also opportunities for us to do the same for others. And that's an important part. You know, the next step. And you know, these people and opportunities for me were truly miracles. And you and I have had discussions about miracles before. I was a real skeptic, but you know, man, I'm a believer. Like, they were lifesavers for me. But we had to be open to them and willing to turn toward him to realize them in our lives.
Well, I think maybe in our next segment we can talk about some of these people who the Lord has put in your life. And then I think actually, you know, it's also kind of to talk about your married life as well. This kind of sets us up, I think, for a great continuation. If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today has been Dr. Terry Welsh. We've been talking about his journey in faith, and this is the first part of a multiple series, so keep tuning in to us. Let's end with a prayer, shall we? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for Terry and for how your hand has guided him along the way and for the people that you have placed in his life. We also give you thanks for your own guidance of our own lives and for the guidance of this day. And we ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This has been Conversations on Discipleship. Until next time, peace and all good.